Hello everyone, this is your host George Ukru. I'm very excited to welcome our special guest for today's episode, Bill Haydock. Bill is the founder and CEO of the RTTS, the company behind the data testing solution query search. Welcome Bill to our show. How are you doing today?
Thanks George, glad to be here. I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing good, Bill. Thank you. Let me get started, Bill, by asking you a question around the data engineering side. So you have been into the data engineering space for more than a decade. So what are some of the interesting trends that you have been seeing in this space in the last couple of months?
Well, obviously, the first thing I want to talk about is automated data validation and ETL testing, because it's close to my heart and it's still in its infancy, and that's what query search does. You know, when we launched in 2012, you know, we were a pure play QA and testing services firm and decided to productize one of our utilities. When we launched, there was almost nobody doing any kind of automation around data validation, ETL testing. And now it's still in its infancy. We still only see about 10% of companies using a solution, an enterprise solution to do this kind of testing. They're mostly either sampling by looking at data and eyeballing it up, or using Excel, or using Midas queries, but they're just getting there. So that's one of the first trends. And by the way, this reminds me of the early days of automation, not to say how old I am, but pretty old. But I go back to the days when I started with SQA Robot, owned by a company called SQA, and then Mercury Interactive popped up with WinRunner and LoadRunner, and then SQA got bought by Rational, and IBM bought Rational, HP bought Mercury, Microsoft entered the game. It feels like that to me right now in the data validation ETL testing space. That's one of the trends. The hottest trend lately is anything around DevOps. So not only on the functional automation side are we all seeing DevOps really gaining initiative, but we're seeing it on the data side. Some people call it DevOps for data, which is what we like to call it. It's also called DataOps, but it's really taking your Agile to the next level and your data validation to the next level by integrating it, removing the human interaction, and having either an ETL solution or an automated build solution or something automatically kick off your data testing, and then using logic or conditionals or whatever you want to do to determine whether to publish the data to prod or not. So that's really hot. Volatility is we're seeing a lot of now because data is growing tremendously. So we see the Hadoop and NoSQL crowd moving away from on-prem to more cloud-based solutions like Databricks, Snowflake, and BigQuery, and others. And then more AI. So those are the things we're seeing on the AI for basically for analytics.
Okay. And Bill, like one additional question there, are you also seeing a trend where there is an additional use case for data validation, especially because customers are actually moving their application from on-prem to the cloud, especially around platforms like Azure, Amazon, as well as Google Cloud? Is that an additional use case for an automated data solution?
Yeah, that's a huge use case for an automated data solution. So one of the most popular use cases that we see is the migration. So again, it just makes a lot more sense as data grows to move your data store to a place like AWS or Azure, where you can automatically scale the number of core CPUs you're using and memory based on the size of your data. And then obviously while you're doing all this, which is a continuous event, to validate that data, make sure it's there. So query search is getting, our team is seeing a lot of migrations.
Okay, that's interesting to know, Bill. The other question that I have is, as you were mentioning, like the UI as well as API test automation coverage level, there's a significant improvement if you look at the numbers for the last couple of years. So what are the average coverage levels that you're seeing around the data validation space, like the number of organizations that you've worked with? Like what are the average percentage of automation coverage that you see when it comes to data? And what is that you expect to happen in the next few years with respect to the coverage levels?
We're seeing anywhere from under 1% to 20% when they come to us. And then we're seeing a jump of 40 to 60, sometimes larger percent, depending on the size of the data store. Again, when you're using a tool like Query Search and you're putting it on a server with 64 gigs of RAM, and you're testing a data warehouse that has petabytes of data and 20 cores, you're not going to be able to test every piece of data. You could test every mapping to make sure that some of the data is moving over accurately, but we're seeing more and more coverage of mappings. So that's what we look at. Think of it as business requirements for data.
Okay. And Bill, one additional question when it comes to data validation. Like one of the challenges that we have seen in the application testing space is the difficulty in getting data to your environments, especially when you want to do large scale kind of testing with data. So do you offer integrations with other tools where you can actually have the capabilities to generate your own data rather than actually building data on your own or maybe getting data from production? Is that something that you're currently supporting with your platform?
Well, I know we're partners with GenRocket, who does the data generation. So we do work with them on the query search side.
Okay, so that's one of the integrations that you offer where you can also depend on synthetic data rather than just using the production-specific data. Okay, that's
correct.
Good to know. And there's also a lot of investments that are going into the big data space where companies are building solutions around big data. So what are some of the key differences, Bill, that you have seen in the way in which a big data system is tested compared with how do you actually test a traditional data warehouse? What are the basic differences that you've seen in the approach itself when it comes to big data kind of testing?
Yeah, the big data approach is a little bit different because you're dealing with unstructured, semi-structured, and structured data as opposed to like a traditional data warehouse. So we use the JDBC drivers to impose a sort of structure on it, or we do some custom coding to make that happen. One of the big things we're seeing again with the big data, which is basically your Hadoop and NoSQL data stores, is migration to the cloud because of just the size of the data and the ability to scale automatically. So, you know, those are the big things we're seeing in that space. And then there's constantly new data sources coming in that are going into these big data stores. And then there's always Kerberos that throws a wrench into the plans of anybody doing testing around something like Hadoop, because that's a security system that is tricky to work with from a testing perspective that our guys have mastered, but you don't normally see in the data warehouse space.
Okay. That's good to know. And you're also touching upon the DevOps as one of the key trends that you see in the data engineering space. Can you elaborate a bit more on what are the types of tests that customers are trying to integrate with the build pipelines, as well as the benefits that you have seen where you have seen DevOps in action with some of your customers?
Yeah, so one of the things that we did is we got a lot of requests from some of our customers that were really high-end technical customers and that were pretty far along in their DevOps journey, and they wanted to integrate QuerySearch into their data ops pipeline. So a couple of years ago, I think about 2 years ago, we started building APIs, first around command line and then RESTful APIs. And we have over 60 of them. You can pretty much do anything you want in QuerySearch without ever touching the interface. So that's what we see people starting to do using our product, which is integrate QuerySearch, whether it be with a tool like Jenkins to kick off, not just execute QuerySearch, anybody can. Most of our competitors have something that executes, but then do whatever you like inside of QuerySearch, including manipulating the tests, the scripts, anything, and then pulling back anything that you can get in a report to use later, and then building in conditional logic, again, all through the interface without the interface, without human interaction. So that's what we see people doing, whether it be building with something like Jenkins or an ETL tool like Informatica Power Center or SSIS or whatever they're using, so that when the ETL process is done, it automatically kicks off the data validation ETL testing, and then using some kind of conditional logic to determine, you know, whether it should be promoted into prod or not. And then there's all kinds of other use cases around it where you can look at schemas and see if they changed and automatically test them on the fly. So it's all about now, because data is growing geometrically and it's growing so fast, it's all about speeding up testing and not creating testing as a bottleneck. And for years, testing, and I've been part of it for a long time, has been its own segment where everything stops till testing is done. This is more of how do we speed it all up and not make testing a bottleneck, but make testing a part of the whole development, security, operations process, and just one smooth automated entity. And that's what the whole DevOps for Data movement's about. And it's getting there. Again, also, it's in its infancy. If you look at the marketplace for DevOps right now, it's a very fragmented market with lots of small players in it. but it's not staying that way. I read an interesting report from William Blair. They're an analyst firm and a private equity firm. And they put out a report that's very interesting about the direction of DevOps and how bigger players like Google, IBM, and especially Microsoft, who they call the 800-pound gorilla, are starting to build capabilities, specifically Microsoft, around GitHub and Azure DevOps, and tie everything together so that, you know, they become, you know, a DevOps monster for anybody that wants to get in DevOps for applications or DevOps for data space.
Okay. And Bill, what are the DevOps solutions that you're supporting currently? I know that you have integrations with tools like Jenkins. So can you name some of these DevOps platforms that you're currently supporting with your product?
We pretty much support anything now. We just came out with a release 10.0 that we built webhooks into. Mm-hmm. So Slack, we originally came out for release for Slack, Teams, and Jira. And we've had integrations with many of the test management solutions like Micro Focus ALM and Azure DevOps and everything else. Now our team is busy building integrations with everything. And because of our API, if somebody wanted to do it themselves, they could. So we pretty much can integrate. We can be executed by anything right now, right out of the box. But we can integrate with literally any tool that has an API now.
Okay.
And that's the whole goal. That's what the webhook strategy is about. That's what the API strategy is about. It's about building integrations, and we're just going to keep releasing for free integrations with every tool out there, whether it be, you know, monitoring tools like Splunk or test management solutions like ALM or tools like Jenkins or CloudBees or, you know, any of these tools that are out there that are in the DevOps space.
Okay, that's cool. And what are some of the additional features that you're trying to build into the query search platform? I know there are a lot of features and capabilities that you've built over the last couple of years. So what is coming new in the product?
Right. So a couple of new things we want to do is, well, one is not really building anything into the product. We released into the Azure Cloud about 2 years ago for anyone that doesn't want to do an on-prem solution and doesn't want to use your bring your own software into their Azure Cloud. Now we're native in the Azure Cloud. We're also going to move into AWS and probably Google, IBM, and Oracle in the next maybe 12 months. And then ease of use of our wizards. We have query wizards that are built to do fairly easy testing, but they're traditionally around doing data migration. So tables to tables or specific columns or row counts. We're going to build a lot more functionality so you can do joins and other things, because we've gotten a lot of requests from our customers that say, hey, you know, we're kind of new to SQL and data testing. Can you make the tool a lot easier to use? So we're focused on that. We're coming out with production data monitoring, which for our operations crowd, which query search right now is two-sided, source and target, pointed at the source, pointed at the target, do a comparison. Production data monitoring's only pointed at production data using thresholds and rules to determine whether it meets your business needs. So that's a real hot thing that a lot of our clients have been asking for. And then we're constantly looking at new architecture. How do we enhance the power and speed to keep up with the growth of data for larger volumes of tests? So that's pretty much our roadmap for the next 12 to 15 months.
Okay, I think there's a lot of work happening around the platform.
Oh, yeah.
I think, yep. And the other question that I have is regarding the custom tools that I've seen. A lot of service providers as well as organizations that invested in developing custom tools for data comparison. And the primary issue that I've seen with all of these tools is the ability to handle large volumes of data. It may work with maybe 100,000 rows, but when it comes to millions of records, I've seen most of these platforms fail to actually compare data, and it becomes too slow, or it actually gives memory leaks, and it goes to a completely, hung state. So how is that you're handling, or what is the capability that you're offering, Bill, within query search to handle large volumes of data, and how does it actually work when you actually have millions of records to compare?
Yeah, we're using Oracle on the back end. So Oracle's built really high-performance functionality into MySQL that allows us to compare massive amounts of data sets very quickly. So we can do billions. For us to do like a million is a couple seconds. It's pretty fast. So that's what we're doing right now. In the future, I'm going to say we're looking at other technologies that can do it even faster. Again, we have to have that happy balance between doing lots of data really, really fast, but not having our customers having to mimic their data warehouse or big data architecture in a massive platform just to test the data they're actually moving. So it's a happy balance. And we're putting it, and we're looking at AI functionality to make it much more efficient.
Oh, that'll be a cool feature. Anything around AI with data, I think, is something that is going to actually impact a lot, because I don't see any kind of data AI capabilities in data validation solutions so far. That's a good area, Bill, to focus on. The other question that I had, Bill, was if someone wants to implement a tool like QuerySearch, like how much time does it take if I want to actually try this out in a project where I'm actually doing something like data migration to the cloud? What are the time frame that is required to implement, and what are some of the things that you should be aware of before you actually start implementing the solution?
Right. Well, we'd like to say you have to start out with good raw materials. So obviously, this is a technical tool. So you want someone that's got a computer science background. Hopefully, they have some SQL skills, some statistical analysis skills, like a good automation tester would be with Selenium that knows Java. One of the things that we took a big step back, George, and I think you know this, a couple of years ago, when we started signing large system integrators, and they asked us, now, how are you going to get us up to speed? And we may not be geographically where you are. You're in New York, we're in Australia, Singapore, India, wherever. So what we did is we built a training platform on Moodle, which is the largest open source training platform out there. Actually, my sons both used it in high school. It's great. We built a lot of self-paced training. So you take the good raw material. You take someone who's computer science grad, undergrad computer science. We have courses that'll teach them SQL for testers and then teach them QuerySearch and get them up to speed and get them certified if they like. So we have an ETL tester course that teaches process. So we say that if you take raw material, and we do this all the time, we take people out of college and we hire them and put them on QuerySearch team. In 5 to 7 days, you could have them up to speed as really strong testers. If they already know SQL, then it's just learning QuerySearch a day. We have a tutorial, it takes an hour and a half. If you have SQL skills, you'll understand QuerySearch in an hour and a half. But if you want to do deep dive, we built a training for deep dive. So SQL skills, DevOps is nice if you want to get into this whole DevOps. But again, one of the big things we're coming out, and I didn't mention that with what's on our roadmap, is we're coming out with two courses. One is coming out, I think it's targeted for next week. It's a generic DevOps for data course, teaches you everything you need to know about DevOps for data and provides the ability to get certified in it. And then we're coming out with DevOps for data for QuerySearch, which shows how to use our entire API and how to get really, really good at it. So there's a long answer to your question, which is how long? If you're already skilled, hour and a half through our tutorial, you can get up and running pretty quickly. Because to connect your data sources is, QuerySearch is 10 minutes to install, a couple minutes to connect. We have a knowledge base out there that shows you how to connect to on your own to any data source out there. We connect to over 200 of them. So you're up and running pretty quickly. If you want to get really good at this, you want to take a deep dive, or you're new to this field, we can get you up to speed in a week.
Okay. So that'll be very helpful. The information that you shared, Bill, will be very useful for folks who want to pursue a career in data testing, especially with the automated data testing. Thank you for sharing that info, Bill. One final question that I had, we touched upon the topic of cloud migration, especially data getting moved from on-prem to the cloud. So can you elaborate on some of the challenges that you've seen where customers struggle around the cloud implementation, specifically around data?
Yeah, just the massive size of data going there, the coordination effort. It's not a technology thing as much, though, as it is, moving from your typical on-prem and security issues. So it's a big undertaking, usually anywhere from 3 months to a year or more, but it's happening and it's not going to stop happening because of the support issue and the ability to scale on demand. But there are some challenges to it. And also with testing it, validating and testing the data, you've got one store or multiple stores that are on premises and you've got stores that are in the cloud. So the challenge is getting a pipe that's big enough to move the data through so that you test it in a reasonable fashion along with migrating it. So you can migrate it in a reasonable fashion and then organizing it and making sure that you're doing it correctly. Our team is very good at doing this and we help our clients with it all the time just because we've done so many of them, but they can be a large undertaking. But I would say most of our clients are either there, going there, are in the process of going there just because of the convenience factor, the scalability, the technology, everything else involved.
Okay. And Bill, like, are you also seeing a trend where customers are actually moving away from relational kind of databases to NoSQL and other types of databases as well as part of the migration?
You know, what's interesting is we saw everybody running to Hadoop probably 8 years ago because it was supposed to be the best place to put your big data. And then a lot of people out there in the marketplace realized a couple of things. One is that while Hadoop is great for storing massive amounts of data, it's not particularly fast. It's actually slow. And the amount of people with Hadoop skills was very small. And if you're dealing with the security on top of Hadoop like Kerberos, there's very few people who knew it well. Okay. So there was a lot of complexities to the big data stores. What we've seen is recently is quite a few people running to Snowflake because it was architected primarily to be in the cloud. Okay. So now all the other vendors that compete with Snowflake have been rushing and are there now, many of them, to get, you know, more of a cloud native platform out there. So all the other vendors are, I mean, every one of them either has their own private cloud, hybrid cloud, or they're in someone else's public cloud.
That's
but I haven't seen a real migration away from traditional data warehouses. We actually saw that originally, and now we see it more or less going back because more comfort level, better speed, more optimized for what customers are doing.
Okay. That brings us to the end of this episode of Automation Hangout. Thank you so much, Bill, for joining us and sharing some wonderful insights around data warehouse testing as well as automated data validation. Have a wonderful day, Bill, and looking forward to have more conversations with you in the coming days.
Thank you, George. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
With this, we have come to the end of this episode of Automation Hangout. Hope you found the session interesting as well as useful. Please do subscribe to our channel to stay abreast with the ever-changing world of automation. Until we meet again, goodbye.